Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Development as Freedom by economist and philosopher Amartya Sen reframes development as an expansion of human freedom rather than a narrow rise in national income. Drawing on public lectures and widely discussed research, Sen argues that poverty, famine, illiteracy, poor healthcare, discrimination, and political repression are not only outcomes of underdevelopment, but also its causes because they restrict what people are able to be and do. The book is known for connecting moral philosophy with practical economics and for presenting the capabilities approach as a way to evaluate social progress through real opportunities, not just resources. Sen also highlights the instrumental role of political participation, transparency, and social arrangements in reducing deprivation and enabling people to shape their own lives. With examples that span countries and institutions, the work invites readers to consider how markets, states, and communities can be judged by the freedoms they create and the unfreedoms they remove. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, freedom as the core measure of development, a central topic in development, as freedom is the idea that development should be assessed primarily by the expansion of substantive freedoms. Rather than treating growth in gross domestic product as the main scoreboard, Sen emphasizes whether people have genuine opportunities to live the lives they value. This includes the freedom to avoid hunger and premature mortality, to learn, to work with dignity, to participate in community life, and to speak and organize politically. The shift is significant because it changes how policy success is judged. A country can be wealthier yet, fail at development if large parts of the population remain trapped by preventable disease, exclusion, or fear. Conversely, a poorer society can achieve meaningful development by improving public health, basic education, and social security, thereby increasing people's capabilities. Sen's framework helps explain why certain deprivations persist even under economic expansion, and why targeted investments in human capabilities can produce both ethical gains and economic dividends. The topic also introduces a vocabulary for comparing social outcomes across different institutional settings, focusing on real freedoms rather than on formal rights or average income alone. Secondly, capabilities and functionings, evaluating real lives. Sen's capabilities approach, widely associated with this book, distinguishes between functionings and capabilities. Functionings are the realized states of being and doing, such as being nourished, being educated, being safe, or being able to move freely. Capabilities refer to the set of real possibilities a person can choose from, which matters because two people with the same outcome may have very different degrees of freedom. For instance, fasting and starvation can look similar in outcome but differ profoundly in agency and choice. This perspective challenges policy analysis that relies only on resources or utility, because resources convert into well-being differently depending on age, gender, disability, environment, social norms, and access to public services. The topic underscores why equality must be discussed in terms of opportunities, not simply in terms of income distribution. It also supports practical evaluation. Policymakers can ask whether people can actually access schools, clinics, transportation, legal protection, and information. By emphasizing plural dimensions of living, Sen provides a way to discuss development that respects diversity of values while still identifying severe deprivations. The approach becomes a bridge between ethics and measurement, pointing toward multidimensional indicators and human development assessments. Thirdly, political freedoms, transparency, and the prevention of famine. Another major theme is the instrumental role of political freedoms and transparent governance in preventing extreme deprivations, especially famine. Sen is publicly known for arguing that large-scale famines do not occur in functioning democracies with a free press, because leaders face incentives and scrutiny that compel timely action. This does not mean democracies automatically eliminate hunger, but it highlights the difference between chronic undernourishment and sudden catastrophic starvation caused by policy failure, conflict, or suppression of information. The topic broadens into a discussion of how political participation, civil liberties, and open debate improve the quality of decision-making. When citizens can criticize, vote out leaders, organize, and access information, governments are more likely to respond to crises, allocate relief, and correct mistakes. Transparency also reduces corruption and the hidden costs of misrule, making public resources more effective. Sen's argument links rights and welfare. Political freedoms are not only intrinsically valuable, but also practically protective. This framing helps readers see development as a system of interdependent freedoms, where absence of voice and accountability can translate into preventable suffering. It also suggests that improving institutions of public reasoning can be a development strategy, not a luxury to postpone. Fourthly, social opportunities, education, health, and human agency. SEN emphasizes social opportunities such as education, healthcare, and basic public services as foundational freedoms that expand agency. Education improves not only earning potential, but also the ability to participate in civic life, understand rights, adopt new technologies, and make informed choices. Health, similarly, is both a component of well-being and a precondition for pursuing goals, since illness can eliminate opportunities even when income exists. This topic highlights the idea that human development investments can have broad spillovers, including reduced fertility rates, improved child survival, and stronger economic participation, especially for women. SEN also draws attention to the social and cultural barriers that restrict agency, including gender discrimination and unequal power within households. By viewing these barriers as development issues, the book pushes beyond an economy focused on production toward a society focused on enabling people. Importantly, SEN does not present social spending as charity, but as capability expansion that strengthens a country's productive and democratic capacities. The discussion encourages readers to think about policy design that reaches marginalized groups, builds local access, and prevents exclusion through cost, distance, or stigma. The broader point is that development is reinforced when people are healthier and more educated, because they can better shape their own futures. Lastly, markets, inequality, and protective security. The book also addresses the role of markets and the need for protective security in a freedom-based vision of development. SEN acknowledges that markets can expand choices, generate innovation, and support economic dynamism, but he cautions that markets do not automatically deliver fair opportunities. Without public action, people can face unemployment shocks, exploitation, unsafe work, or exclusion from credit and essential goods. This topic explores how unequal bargaining power and social disadvantages can limit the freedoms markets are supposed to provide. SEN argues for protective arrangements such as social safety nets, unemployment support, disaster relief, and targeted assistance for vulnerable populations. These policies reduce fear and insecurity, enabling people to take productive risks such as starting businesses, changing jobs, or investing in education. Protective security also has a moral dimension. A society should prevent avoidable destitution. The topic ties together efficiency and justice by showing how security measures can stabilize economies, prevent irreversible capability losses, and support long-term growth. Rather than a simple state versus market debate, SEN's framework evaluates institutions by how well they expand and safeguard freedoms. The result is a nuanced view where policy goals include both economic opportunity and resilience against shocks. In conclusion, Development as Freedom is best suited to readers who want a deeper way to think about poverty and progress than standard economic growth narratives. Students of economics, public policy, philosophy, international relations, and public health will find it especially useful, as will practitioners in government, NGOs, and development finance who need a framework for setting priorities and evaluating trade-offs. The book can benefit a reader's life by changing how they interpret headlines about growth, inequality, famine, education, and governance, offering a practical moral lens, ask what real options people have, and what prevents them from exercising agency. It also equips readers to compare policies across countries without reducing everything to income, highlighting how rights, institutions, and social services interact. Compared with similar development books that focus mainly on markets, aid, or macroeconomic targets, SEN's work stands out for integrating ethics with evidence and for making freedom both the means and the end of development. That distinctive structure helps readers evaluate programs more holistically and argue for reforms that expand capabilities rather than merely raise averages. If you would like to support Amartya Sen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.